Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the meeting of the Standards Committee. Do we have any apologies for absence, Monica?
We have apologies from Parish Councillor Alison Trenery.
Thank you. Any declarations of interest? Nope. We need to approve the minutes of the last meeting held on the 28th of November. All those in favour of those minutes? That's everyone. And abstention? Thank you. Is there any urgent business?
No urgent business, Chairman.
Thank you. Then I hand over to the Monitoring Officer for his annual report.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Councillors. So the purpose of the report is to provide an annual overview for the discharge of the Monitoring Officer function. As you're all aware, the Monitoring Officer is a statutory appointment pursuant to Section 5 of the Local Government and Housing Act 1989, and I currently perform this role. Now, Section 5 of the Local Government and Housing Act 1989 requires the Monitoring Officer to appoint a deputy, and I am required to keep them briefed on any relevant issues that may be required to be dealt with in my absence. And I have appointed Ms. Sherry Grant as the Council's Deputy Monitoring Officer, and she has been in position since pretty much I started the post. She's an experienced senior solicitor, and her input has been invaluable so far, so I'm very thankful for her. The Council has put in place arrangements under the Localism Act 2011 to deal with complaints about potential breaches. This is our code of conduct. And whilst we may have a fair few complaints at the moment, those arrangements appear to be working satisfactorily. In terms of my advice, since my appointment, I've given a number of bits of advice to councillors and to parish and town council clerks, as is required by my role. When I started, I inherited 8 complaints. These complaints have now been concluded, but for one matter which remains outstanding, but for full compliance with the decision notice. So once that one element has been complied with, those historic complaints will have all been completed. So now to the meat of potatoes. Since my appointment, the Council has received 26 standards complaints. So I was appointed in March 2022. Those complaints are composed of the following. 10 are Parish Council complaints and 16 were Borough Council complaints. The 16 Borough Council complaints relate to 7 different councillors. And of the 26 complaints, 9 were submitted by members of the public, and 7 of those 26 complaints are currently live. The Localism Act requires the council and all the subsequent parish and town councils to adopt a code of conduct for councillors. And on that front, there are no issues because all the parish and towns have a code and that's been adopted. So in terms of member declaration forms, declaration of interests, everything on that front seems to be quite good. And throughout the year, I've received annual updates from different councillors. So there seems to be a general awareness that there is a requirement to do that. And of course, we'll be rolling out some training in the near future. And that's the same applies for all our parish and town councillors. They've completed all of their declaration of interest forms also. Now, in terms of the constitution, as you're aware, councillors, we have an ongoing arrangement to review the constitution, but only recently did we do a full review of the constitution. That was in December 2022. But that responsibility is ongoing, but it's ongoing in the knowledge that we've only just done a full review and completed it in December. So we'll probably be meeting again the Constitution Working Group to have a look through and see if there are any anomalies that have raised their heads or any issues. And we'll carry on from there. I wasn't going to mention anything else, Chair. That's pretty much the end of my report. There are elements on there, such as RIPA and what have you, but that doesn't necessarily need to be reported to Standards Committee. So thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions? Councillor Fletcher.
Will we get to meet this Deputy Monitoring Officer?
Sherry Grant? What I tend to do, Councillor Fletcher, is if certain matters, if I don't have capacity for them or I feel that she's better to deal with them, then I put them towards Sherry. But Sherry's actively working within the council. She's our main planning lawyer, but I've also appointed her as a deputy monitoring officer. So she's there and she's about. Oh, good. Right. Sorry, you may not have heard me say Sherry. Sorry.
Councillor Goodfellow.
I'm sorry, just I didn't want to interrupt earlier. Just a point of procedural notice. I noticed Councillor Florence Jukes is here. Have I missed an announcement of some sort?
Yes, I do apologise.
Is that not a function of full council?
I do apologise. I should have said when I gave the apologies that Councillor Florence Jukes is here, substituting for Councillor Grosvenor, which is in the constitution.
Yes. Yeah.
Which bit of the constitution is that in?
I'll find it for you now, Councillor Goodfellow, but when we reviewed the constitution in December 2022, there were provisions in there for substitute councillors to attend on behalf of another councillor, as long as no formal training requirements were needed. So, for example, licensing committee or planning committee, we'd probably have a more stringent rule in place, but I am aware that Councillor Florence Jukes has served on standards committee before, and Councillor Grosvenor did nominate her as a substitute in good time. So, shall I get that part of the constitution to you following this meeting, Councillor Goodfellow?
Yes, please.
Thank you.
So this is a substitution in respect of this evening only. Is that correct?
Yes. Any further questions? No. Okay, sorry. Sorry. Councillor Florence Jukes, then Councillor Locke.
Thank you, Chair. Just one question, really. How the 10 complaints for parish councils, that seems a little bit high for me. Is that an average number per year, roughly, or is that a little bit on the high side? And I did wonder, I know you said they've got to adopt a code of conduct. Would that be the new LGA revised code of conduct, or what one are they working to? Do we all work to the same one? Do they have to readopt like we did the new one? Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Dealing with your question backwards, Councillor Florence Jukes, there's no, as long as you have a code of conduct in place, that's the key requirement of the legislation. It doesn't necessarily mean that they have to adopt the latest local government association version. They can choose to, and in some districts, all of the parish will follow the district and the borough council in terms of their code, and they all decide as a collective that they're all going to have one code that they're going to work off. That's not the case here in East Staffordshire, and it's not the case elsewhere up and down the country. It's just it's a local choice more than anything else. In terms of the average number, in my view, 10's actually quite a low number for parish councils. Just referring to my previous experience, I had a lot of parish council complaints, and there's no pattern, there's nothing that explains it. It just sometimes you can get a low number or a high number. I think what I'd say, Councillor Fletcher, is some of them are, you know, that doesn't probably go into enough detail in terms of which ones actually come to fruition and reach a complaint stage. Some of them were able to deal with informally, and just say perhaps an apology is the best thing to be considered here. So that's just counting them as they come in rather than whether or not they go the full distance, so to speak. But yeah, I agree.
Councillor Florence Jukes actually nicked most of my question, so I did some desperate thinking of how to extend it. The 10 parish council ones, I presume they're not against 10 separate parish councils. Have we got just a couple that are raising most of the issues?
Yeah, there are occasionally some problematic areas. I would say. And you are right that there is sometimes a tit-for-tat approach. And if one councillor complains, then you do find an almost retaliatory complaint that comes in. But that still forms part of our count, so to speak. So it can be explained. But of course, my report, it wouldn't be proper for my report to go into that kind of detail. So you are correct.
At what stage or point you conclude it's a malicious complaint and it has no base? For example, somebody's complaining about coming across somebody somewhere where it doesn't really make any sense. Do you conclude? Do you have the power to conclude, or do you have still to investigate it?
Thank you, Councillor. I think it depends initially on the complaint when it first reaches me. I mean, if a complaint comes in and there is no evidence or anything that I can work from to link to the complaint, it does say within our code of conduct that, well, there's no basis here. I'm not too sure that I can take this any further. But if there is sufficient evidence of sorts, I'm not saying that we need a huge amount of evidence, but there's enough for me to say, well, actually, this complaint's got some merit. It can then go on to an investigation. At that point, it leaves me as the monitoring officer, and it goes to an external independent investigator, and they will consider the matter away from me and come to a view as to whether or not there's been a breach of the code. But I suppose it all depends on the quality of the complaint that comes in. And sometimes there is no basis. It's one word against the other, and an investigation's not going to take you any further, and you know that you're just going to be wasting people's time and causing a great amount of stress, possibly. On the other hand, you can see that there is evidence. If something takes place, for example, during a council meeting where there are witnesses that have seen it, then you're like, well, you know, there's something that needs to be investigated here, and we've got potential witnesses to it. So it's each case on its own merits and basis, I suppose, Councillor.
Anyone else? So now we move to the private minutes. I forgot to read that out. That in accordance with section 100A4 of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public be excluded from the remainder of the meeting, as it is likely, in view of the nature of the business to be transacted or the nature of the proceedings, that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in the paragraphs of Part 1 of Schedule 12A of the Act, indicated in brackets before each item number on the agenda. Thank you.